Welcome to the Carol Reiberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Henry Nouwen said, "The spiritual life does not remove us from the world, but leads us deeper into it." Interesting quote to start the show, isn't it? Gives you a little bit of a sneak preview of what it's going to be. Thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reiberger. And the topic of today's show is actually a suggestion from A. Lin, who is a listener from Singapore. And A. wrote me and she in the email, and she said, in the email as she shared it, is that in her quest for spirituality, she neglected the needs of her physical body and asked if I would share my perspective on how to keep that healthy balance between both the spiritual nature and the physical nature of who we are when there's a tendency to focus specifically on one or the other at the expense of one or the other. Boy, I took a deep breath when I read that email, because I'll tell you, not only with the readings that I've been doing over the last few months, but then also connecting with a lot of my intuitive friends, we're all saying the same thing and asking the same thing. If we're doing our work, then why is our body suffering so much? And the word that keeps coming up and coming up is the word balance, and how important that word is. Whether you're focused on the physical nature and getting through the day and going through the task list and just checking things off, then that takes a toll on your physical body. But on the other hand, if you really get into that spiritual quest where it really consumes so many of your activities that what you're doing is you forget about the physical nature, and then what will happen is that in that spiritual quest and that search for spirituality alone, it can lead to a lot of the aches and pains that we feel, even when we're tied and bound to the physical nature of who we are in the earth plane. So there really is a fine balance between the two. And so I want to thank A for the suggestion. And then I hope that all of you, as my listeners, get some value out of the information that's being shared today, and for multiple reasons, but most importantly, the quest that we're all on at a higher level of who we are. And the energy of 2010 is all about resolve. It's all about letting, going back and looking at our life and not dwelling on it, but looking at the things in our life we want to change, the things that we want to revisit to see if there's other options. We move into resolution, where we actually go in and start the process of making those changes, and then ultimately hit that place of resolve where we can check it off of our list finally, once and for all. Now, I get asked that all the time. What does that mean? And what I can tell you is it means that we no longer have the emotional charge associated with a relationship or an event or a job or a situation in our life that basically puts us in a place where we feel spiritually compromised. Now, the importance of where we are now is that we're being asked continually, almost in every event that happens where we experience a negative emotion or a negative attitude surfaces or something, we are being asked to go inside. And that means that we have to touch our spiritual nature. And in that spiritual nature, it's very important for us to be able to, again, look for our inner wisdom to give us the answers, touch that spirituality of who we are, that spiritual energy of who we are, and yet be able to bring that forward in a way where we have harmony and balance, not only in the energy field, but the body, between the mind and the body, and our outer world and our inner world. So again, it should be for a very interesting show. And I want to thank A for sending that. And then any of you that have a suggestion for me for a show, you can go to my website, www.ritberger.com, submit it. And then what I'll do is I'll look at the schedule and try to fit it in. So it's a wonderful way. And you know, timing and that divine timing, it's a wonderful way for us to connect. Let me finish that sentence. But in the divine timing, the suggestions that come through seem so appropriate for where we are in our own personal growth. And then that bigger picture of spiritual evolution on that, what I call that esoteric global consciousness that all of us are seeking to move from fear-based to that enlightenment consciousness. And enlightenment consciousness basically means that we follow our own counsel instead of following the counsel of others. We take their information into, consideration, We may take it into heart to be able to find emotional charges within us, but we will, in enlightenment, heed our own counsel and act upon it. I'm also going to be sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. So if you have a question for me about your health or you want to talk about today's topic, I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada, and also for international callers. Of course, international callers, you'll have to dial your international calling number, and then the number 877-230-3062. I want to really kind of go deeper into the process of understanding spirituality. And I want to start to say to people, a lot of this comes from my own background. I have a PhD in religious philosophy, and I really got into that study of religion and spirituality and the connection that we have with a divine source, basically because I found as a medical intuitive in the healing process, some people had this innate ability to be able to go so deeply within themselves that they were able to surrender all of their humanness and all of the entrapments that were associated with the human activities and events and experiences, and were able to experience tremendous spontaneous remission and miracles of healing. And I thought in my yellow personality arrogance, if I could define spirituality in 15 words or less, then I could possibly justify not only coming back from my near-death experience, which is important for me to always be helping and being of service, but then I thought, my gosh, what a wonderful tool that I would be able to share with people that could give them a key that could unlock the inner wisdom to be able to heal themselves. What I found out is, frankly, a spirituality is a moving target based on personality, and it doesn't mean the same thing to everyone. But if we really went in and we looked at spirituality, it really isn't referring to the word religion. While religion and spirituality are used interchangeably, religion really seeks to explain the relationship with God or divine source or the unmanifest by many, many names, or a single divine force, and offers insight in how do we strengthen our relationship through prayer, beliefs, and proper behavior with that divine source. The goal of religion is to connect us with our God or our divine and to serve that God in everything that we do. Religion as a structure, a dogma, a doctrine tends to be more structured. It's more practical, and it's in a more organized system of dogma, creed, or ceremony. Consequently, it's easier to be engaged in and still be aware of our physical needs. Now, when we look at spirituality, on the other hand, spirituality seeks to explain our relationship with all that exists, God, Buddha, divine, unmanifest, the universe, and all living creatures, and all beings in non-physical forms, such as angels and guides. The spiritual quest is one of self-discovery and personal growth. That's how that spiritual quest always begins. Its goal is to expand consciousness and to reach that state of enlightenment. Spirituality is more esoteric, philosophical, mental, and also very ritualistic. Consequently, it's easier to become mentally consumed with the process and to lose touch with the physical needs of the body. So I hope that sheds a little bit of light as far as the differentiation really from religion and spirituality. And in that differentiation, then it will help you be able to put balance in your life from a religious standpoint, from a spiritual standpoint, and then being able to balance both of those in your physical life. Henry David Thoreau said, "My desire for knowledge is intermittent, but my desire to commune with the spirit of the universe, to be intoxicated with the fumes, call it of that of the divine nectar, to bear my head through the atmosphere and over the heights unknown to my feet, is a perennial and constant journey." I read that, and it did the same thing the first time I read it to what it does every time I read it. It gives me goosebumps. It helps me touch a deeper inner part of who I am, and it helps us realize that spirituality is what connects us with all that exists, and it even connects us deeper with ourselves, and it asks us to go inside and find our own wisdom, to touch that wisdom, to bring it to expression, and to live that wisdom in our words, actions, and deed. When we make the conscious decisions, it's the conscious decision of spirituality to pursue the path that's going to take us to our inner self. Now, that is something that in many ways we're really not conditioned or taught. In our childhood, we certainly are taught around the religious dogma and doctrine and how to be able to participate in that. But when it comes to spirituality, we really don't have a sense, first of all, of what it is, second of all, what is our role in it, and then finally is how do we bring that forward in an expression that literally can help lift us above a lot of the turmoil and obstacles of life? How can it help us move beyond suffering and so forth? And that also to let you know that spirituality is a perennial process, and it is a process. So when we go into that spiritual mode of that quest of self-discovery, we're really looking for ourselves, and we're in that search for that inner self and how to bring it forward. It says if we've awakened from a long evolutionary slumber and we find the world that we know now or we knew in our past is very, very different. Our perceptions of our past is different. Our perceptions of life is different. And it's as if suddenly we're consumed with the need to find the answers. Who am I? What is my purpose? And the one that has really been forefront in the universal consciousness energy field is, where am I going? The spiritual quest is really triggered by that initial awakening stage. Perhaps you find a book or somebody invites you to a class that you seem to resonate with a person. That initial stage of awakening is exciting, it's exhilarating, it's uplifting, it's empowering, it's personally liberating, and we want more and more and more. So as a result, we go in, we read, we listen to tapes and CDs, we attend classes, conferences, we hang out with people who have a kindredness, meaning the same sort of philosophy of life or beliefs as we do. And we do all of these things to help us try to find the answers. We meditate, perform rituals that connect us to our higher selves, again, join like-minded groups. We create affirmations and change our thoughts, and then we focus our energy on living that spiritual nature in our physical life. And while it's certainly seductive and enticing, I call it the cosmic seduction, and not from the negative term that we look at it from the humanist, but it's kind of that part of us as that little child on Christmas. We're always excited. We never know exactly what's going to be there for us. And there is a seduction. There's an excitement and an exhilaration that certainly keeps us, you know, moving forward, but also it can be like an aphrodisiac. From the standpoint that we can get in there and that spiritual quest, that desire to know, and we can actually stay beyond the time we need in order to maintain the balance. And then we find ourselves feeling ungrounded, stuck, and even disconnected from the needs of the physical body. The body tells us that there's a disconnect between the body, the mind, and the soul through aches and pains. If we have to make a choice now, do we continue to stay in that spiritual stage, or do we look to the needs of our body? The first and foremost thing is to look to the needs of the body. As long as the body has aches and pains, the mind is going to fixate and dwell on it, and it'll be more difficult for you to find your spiritual answers. So it's important also, as I take it one step further as a medical intuitive, is that when illness occurs, you're not being punished. We as humans are not being punished because we're pursuing our spirituality. It's just that our body's trying to tell us that the purpose of our life in this existence is to be able to create that alchemical sacred marriage between our spiritual nature and our physical nature, and that we can really have fluidity if we want to go into the spiritual aspect of who we are through meditation, through ritual. Go there, then bring that back into your physical world. Be in your body. And if you are, then what you'll find is your body knows how to restore good health, and it will. But again, I know for me and many of my friends that do a lot of spiritual work and readings, we're so focused on the work that we do. We're so enamored by it. We feel so passionate about it. We have so much desire within every cell of our body to be of service. And you know, sometimes my body comes in and it says, Carol, you need to get out and walk, get a different change of scenery. You need to think about different things. What are you doing for yourself? What are you doing for self-care? And I perpetually and continually, when I get out of that balance, my body talks to me and it basically says to me, get out of your chair and go for a walk. So again, it's a delicate balance. It's one that is exciting when we seek our spirituality, but it's also very important for us to be able to remain in our body and to fulfill its basic needs while we're seeking to discover who we really are. I'm going to continue talking about this topic. My lines are just lighting up like crazy, so let me go ahead and jump in, and I'll take Bernadette from Edmonton, Alberta. How are you?
Hi. Well, I've actually been better.
Okay, yes, you have. I tell you, I'm empathic, and it's like, whoa, it feels like I was just my head put in a vise, my teeth locked down, and my shoulders are up around my ears. So excuse me a moment. Boop. Okay, so the gift of being empathic is it lets me go in and kind of get into your body in an esoteric way vibrationally to be able to go in and figure out what you're feeling, how you're feeling, and then connect the dots for you. So how can I help you, sweetie?
Well, yep, my head is in a vise.
Yep.
And I have headaches probably 70% of the time.
Yep. Okay, there's part of the reason that you haven't been able to find the answers to what you need to do for the headaches themselves, honey, is because there isn't a one trigger. For example, most of the time when you get a migraine, which is what it feels like to me. But I can tell you that I can also feel the pressure all the way up both sides of your head, like somebody's got their hand at the back of your head and gripping your temples. The headache appears to be more on one side. That's kind of where I got that migraine feel for it. But it isn't really what we would call, you know, triggered by stress. There's a couple of things, and I am going to also add a third dimension to this from esoteric. But I do want to go with the physical and give you what you're looking for.
Thank you.
So going in and looking at that, sweetie, you have an old back injury in the upper lumbar part of the spine. It feels like you probably fell on your bottom a couple times too much. Your tailbone is tucked under. I have a weakness in the spine itself. Your muscles are trying to protect that spinal cord, so you don't seem to have a lot of flexibility and movement in your lower back. I can also pick that up energetically and pick it up in the physical body and the ankles themselves. I go up to the mid-thoracic part of the spine, right really kind of where the shoulder blades toward the bottom of them, not below them, and I can get a hitch in your get-along, meaning you don't have a lot of movement there. And I also can get, as I go up into the cervical vertebrae 2 and 3, right just below cervical vertebrae 1, which is called the atlas or the axis, some people will call that, most often called the atlas. It's got a twist in it, and as a result, and I say it with love, but your head isn't on straight. And as a result, I can pick up this pressure around the occiput, around the ears themselves, below the ear and above the temple. And so there's some things that you can do that has to be structurally done to be able to help you with that aspect of the physicalness of your body. You can look at things like massage. You could look at things like acupuncture. You could explore things like Rolfing, R-O-L-F-I-N-G. It's a kind of a restructuring, meaning it's an energetic, mental, physical process of causing, of helping the spine be able to get where it needs to get all the vertebrae lined up so they're not going in different directions. You can look at that. It's non-force. You could look at cranial sacral work that would be able to work with balancing the cerebral spinal fluid in the skull itself. That would take a lot of pressure off of the cranial nerves. It would take pressure off of the vagus nerve. That would help you with some of the feels like nausea. Except it's not really nausea. It's just a low grade. You just feel like your gut's off balance. So I take a deep breath. So those are some of the things you could do. Edgar Cayce used castor oil packs. You could use them on your neck area. You could use warm compresses. That would be able to help you and take some of the pressure vascularly off of what is happening in the body itself. The other thing is that are you working with anyone with your diet, sweetie?
No, I usually just, you know, I think I eat pretty good.
You do. And again, I don't mean to talk in riddles. You do eat very, very well, meaning that you're mindful of the foods that you put in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things is that I'm picking up some sensitivities, and I'm picking that up because your immune system feels like it's tired because it's always trying to figure out what these headaches are all about.
Right.
So what you can do is food combining is very, very important for you. Start your day off with alkaline foods, but foods that aren't high in either fructose or natural fructose or sugar. But you do need to eat in the morning, and you will want to eat alkaline-based foods. There's some great books that you can go in and you can look at. To be able to look at the types of foods that would help you from an alkaline, that will help stabilize the acid alkaline balance in your body. It will help you in that stomach as well area. You ought to be eating 6 times a day, small meals. Eat your protein in the afternoon, less protein at night. That would be able to help you. The other thing that you can do, and that's why I'd ask if you had were working with anyone, a naturopath may be able to give you some natural remedies that you would be able to use. I'm a little cautious when I say that. I need to be real straightforward because your stomach feels so sensitive that what we don't want is we don't want to all of a sudden introduce a whole bunch of different herbs and supplements that just seems like it's just going to cause the body to have to work overtime, even what it's trying to do to get through a day. There's other things. I'm going to go more the traditional route. Do they have you on Depakote?
No, I mean, if anything, I try and research everything. I've been taking Feverfew, but that hasn't been helping.
Okay.
I was going to go and grab that 5-HTP today and see if that helps.
Okay.
It's just, I'm just always doing everything myself, you know?
Okay. Well, I'm just going to tell you clinically what you can do. If you decide at any point in time that for any reason the things that you're trying isn't giving you the relief that you need, Feverfew is very helpful. It's very helpful to the immune system as well. It helps to kind of quell the inflammation or that kind of hot-headedness that can come with migraines. And that's, I'm not talking about temperament, but just the way that the gut dynamics between the gut and the head. In my world as a medical intuitive, all headaches, tension, cluster, migraines, all begin in the stomach.
Okay.
So as you're looking at that now, there could be Depakote. That does tend to be something that's only used when they're really, really severe. It can be very helpful for you.
How do you spell that?
I'm going to have to do it phonetically because I'm in my right brain.
Yeah.
Depracote, I think it is. Depracote, I think it is. And excuse me for any of my physicians that are out there or anybody, they're going, oh my gosh, Carol Reitberger, please bear with me with that. The other thing is there's research that's being shown now that there is a process in the use of Botox that seems to be having a tremendous impact on being able to manage migraines as well. That may be something that you just want to go in, Google, and do some research to find out. We're getting so not only has it been something that has been pretty much assumed based on people that have had, especially women that have had Botox, but it also, now we're beginning to find it in the research from a clinical standpoint that it has some advantages as well. One of the things I can tell you, honey, is that your migraine headaches are not tied to hormones. No, they are not.
Okay.
In this particular case, I've got the skeletal part and I've got this nutritional aspect of it. Too acidic, more alkaline is needed. The okay. other thing is that my sense is, excuse me, is that the cold seems to trigger them as well also. So again, keeping your body warm. Now, when I said that, I immediately went to your thyroid to check. You are low thyroid. You're not off the scale. There's not anything a doctor will do for you.
Okay.
But there may be that, you know, there's some things that maybe, holistic practitioner could help you with, there as well. But again, those are the things. My first take is, as I touch you, is that the thing that would be the first place to start would be to work with you skeletally.
Okay.
It's like I need to get you comfortable back in your skin and to get your skeletal structure back in alignment so it will stop compressing the cranial nerves and creating the problem. And then, you know, that will help also retrain, reprogram the body that it can heal itself.
I did actually start a one-on-one training with this girl doing Pilates about a month ago.
Okay, and how's that working for
and,
you?
Well, actually, I felt pretty good every time I left there, but she's been away on holidays for 2 weeks.
Okay.
But I have felt really, I was very happy every time I left there.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing with Pilates, outstanding, and it works really with those core muscles in your lower stomach and back, and that's where I've got that old injury. So the more you can build those up, then the more it'll let those vertebrae fall into alignment the way they're designed, and then that will take the pressure off of, again, the nerves, the cranial nerve specifically, the vagus nerve number 10 that basically goes into the stomach area. And then, that would be able to help. So it's something to certainly pursue. You might also, want to look at some yoga stretchings. For some reason, Qigong comes up, that you might want to look at something like that as well.
Do you have any comments on that 5-HTP or that's not going to work?
No, actually, I've been poking at it because you're poking at it. That's kind of the way I work. There's a benefit from it, that I immediately got. And that is that it's going to help relax you and you're going to have a better night's sleep.
Okay.
As far as the headaches themselves, I didn't get a clear like, woohoo, this is the thing that we need to do.
Yeah.
But I just, again, if we could just get you in your skin, even in the sleep, to the point where you could find that restfulness, to the point where you could detox. That's going to take the pressure off of the muscles, off of the skeletal system, and I think it'll take some pressure off of the headaches as well. And that's what Pilates does. It moves that, cortisol or the lactic acid in the muscles. It causes the fascia to liquefy, and then that can help you tremendously.
Okay.
So I'm going to go one step further, which I normally would not do because I am not a doctor.
Right.
But it's important for me to tell you this for some reason,
is
that, honey, you don't have any brain problems.
Oh, thank you. Because, sometimes it hurts so much. Think, man, I'm just going to keel over from an aneurysm.
You know, you're not.
Okay.
You're not. It just seemed important for me. Your soul said, and one last thing, Carol, before you get off the line, we need to say this. It's like, okay, say it, Carol. Let's go for it. So anyway, thank you for calling me, sweetie. Happy holidays to you. All right.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Let's go ahead and Billy, let's do a commercial break. I'll be right back to talk more about spirituality and that fine balance with health. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Carol Reitberger Show.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. internationally renowned medical intuitive, Carol Reitberger, is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Well, welcome back, and thanks for joining me today. If you are just joining me, I'm talking about the fine balance between spirituality and health and how easy it is for us to forget about the needs of our physical body when we're on that exciting, liberating, joyful process of going in and trying to find that spiritual part of who we are and then touching it. It is a very, very exciting process. But our body is like, hello, I need you to come back into me. I need you to, you know, come back into my needs, get in my body, get in your skin, and so forth. And this is actually a suggestion from a listener from Singapore. So again, I want to thank her for sharing that suggestion with me and with all of us, especially in these times of change. I'm also taking your calls. I have time to probably take a couple more. So, but if you have a question for me about your health or you would like to ask me a question about spirituality, you can call me at 877-230-3062. And then also I wanted to let you know that I have a monthly Your Health teleclass series, and my teleclass series or topic for October was influenza, the flu, and I look at the seasonal flu, swine flu, and avian flu, and then also not only just clinically and general description of the flu, the stages of it, but I also share how's the medical intuitive, I look at it psychologically, and then how it looks in the energy field, how it maps in the chakra system, what role your personality plays in the susceptibility, the weakening of the immune system that makes you susceptible to being able to develop or to get the flu, whether it's seasonal or that we have this new H1N1, really not new, but it's always in a morphing stage. So again, what role does your personality play? And then I have a whole laundry list of things that you can do from an alternative standpoint to be able to assist your body in the process of minimizing the impact, shortening the cycle, and then also being able to manage complications associated with flu so then your body doesn't go into any of those complications. If you're interested in the influenza, there's very little cost associated with it. It is available for purchase on my website, www.ritberger.com. It actually has a try before you buy. The audio has a small segment that you can listen to be sure it's what you're interested in. And then I also offer a printable PDF that you can print, put it in a binder, keep it for future reference, and then also share it with loved ones should they get the flu. And then you can look at the different choices that are available. The flu is an interesting illness to have to deal with. And part of the reason for that is it's triggered by a virus. And as a result, many times doctors want to deal with it and treat it from an antibiotic standpoint. But because it's a virus, antibiotics really don't work going in and managing or eradicating the virus or else managing the outcome or complications. So again, lots of good things. So go to my website, www.ritberger.com. And then you'll be able to listen, and as well as other 17 other illnesses that I have on my website that have also been my teleclasses. And then kind of a sneak preview is if you aren't on my in my database, go to my website again, www.ritberger.com, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com. Go to the contact page, sign in there, because in December I'm going to be sending everyone on my list a free gift for the holidays. And then also a thank you to all of you that support my work and keep me going when I get into the spiritual part and my body goes, Carol, get out of that chair and let's do something. All right. So what I want to do now is let's go ahead and jump in and talk a little bit more. I'm going to take a couple calls. I'd like to get those done. And then I'm going to talk a little bit more about how to find that fine balance between spirituality and your health. Let's go ahead. Pat in Connecticut. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Carol. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Actually, I'm doing well for the first time in about 57 years. So
woohoo!
I So far, I've called you about dogs, and someday I'll give myself a treat and call you about myself. But you helped me. you helped me a while ago, telling me the health of a dog that I was looking to adopt, and you were right on. But that actually fell through. I have a chance to rescue a dog that needs a home right away. It's a 2-year-old male coonhound, and I'd like to ask you about the health and temperament, especially temperament.
I could understand that because, you know, where you are, it's like, do I really want to take on a temperamental dog? The first thing I could tell you is when I touched your energy, there was an immediate match between you energetically and this dog. I need to just go and start that way. Then I'll go in and I'll talk a little bit more about what you're asking. But I mean, the minute you asked that question, I could see that dog, you know, sitting beside you.
Good.
Now, yep, health-wise, the dog feels like in good health. For some reason, it feels like that the dog, probably because of the rescue part of it, will need for you to go in and really start from the very beginning as you get the dog managing its diet. It doesn't really have a sensitive stomach that's going to be a problem, but it really needs to be put back on good, healthy food. It needs to be put back into balance from a digestional standpoint, and that will help. Have more vitality. It's going to seem to help its hair. It feels like its hair is a little bit dry, but it feels like that's the thing that it's going to require the most is it's just going to have to get its gut back the way that it needs to. Structurally, go ahead, sweetie.
That's my specialty, so that's great.
Perfect.
Go ahead. But I will say that this was on a Navy base, and I don't know what, I'm not sure what happened, but he went after a neighbor girl who supposedly was teasing him. Mm-hmm. And so the Navy said, get rid of him.
Yeah.
Not a problem before, not a problem since with the guy that's holding on to him. And I'm concerned about that. If I keep the dog, I will send him to training camp. If I'm just fostering, I can't afford to do that.
Yeah. You know, the dog, I have to kind of go, the dog's like you. The dog doesn't want to be pushed, doesn't want to be told what to do, doesn't want to be teased, doesn't want to be chastised, doesn't want to be limited. And I can see a lot in that, in your behavior as well. The temperament of the coonhound is something that, again, as you know, you'll need to visit because they can be kind of moody, pensive dogs.
Well, I've had them for 18 years, so I love them.
Yeah, and they do tend to be really very protective. They tend to, as you know, very protective, and they too tend to bond very closely with one person. My sense is if I went into the metaphor, is kind of where we had talked before in the reading that we had from the standpoint is that when somebody's going to step on your toes, you're probably going to rear your head and you're going to want to bark and you might even want to bite. You won't. My sense is this is the same thing with this dog.
Okay, good.
Yeah, structurally, the dog, when I go in and I'm looking primarily at the spine itself, knowing that coonhound tend to have, you know, weaknesses within the spine, I'm going in and looking at the joints and everything. I do pick up if we were looking directly at the dog. Is it a him? Is it a male?
It's a boy, yeah.
Yeah, it feels like it. If we were looking right into his eyes, it would be his right back paw. Feels like he's got a little bit of an infection or something that's going on there. It's not a problem, but it's just I could pick it up when I was running his body.
Okay, that's a great tip.
Yeah.
I think he was given heartworm shot maybe in September. Is he clear so I can just continue, or do I need to go get him tested before I continue the medicine?
I'm not picking up heartworm.
Okay, good.
I'm not picking up parasites in his gut or anything. I'm just picking up that we just need to get him on some good food and get him back to a place where he can, you know, his hair feels really dry to me. So since that's kind of your specialty and everything, I mean, I know that their hair is coarse anyway, but kind of that specialty of who you are, you might want to address that as well.
Absolutely. Do you see us, you know, my coonhound, my last one, was just, he was like my husband. I would love to have, I know I can't replace him, but do you see this one really bonding with me emotionally?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good. Good.
Oh, yeah. But I tell you, just typical of coonhounds, they have their moments. You know, they can be a moody breed.
Yeah, well, I am too, so that's absolutely fine with me. Thank you. I can't thank you enough because this is like, I need to save this dog right away. So this is really, really helpful. I was second-guessing myself.
Well, and I can understand that. But, you know, I think if I remember correctly when we talked, is that I had mentioned, I mean, it just like this dog is talking to me, even though I'm not a Dr. Doolittle or an animal communicator. This dog, I remember in the reading saying to you, when you see this dog, this is going to be the dog. And it's going to be, this dog's going to say to you, this is who I am. And that's just how it feels to me.
Great. Do you know if Bo, my other dog, is sending this one to me? I was told he was getting one ready for me.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
Thank you so much.
I do agree. In fact, you'll be surprised. I think some of the idiosyncrasies of the new dog will be exactly the same as Bo. We could call it the breed, but I think that there's more to it. They're not an reincarnation of each other, but there is a similarity. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, and I will call you back and let you know how things are going, and bless you so much.
You are so welcome, and please do that. I will really want to know how it's going. All right, let's go, Debbie in San Diego. Hi, Debbie.
Hello, Carol. It's so good to talk to you again.
You too, honey.
Actually, the intro to your program really resonated with me. It's like you were talking directly to me, and I don't have any physical issues. I'm more relating to a broken heart, and I spoke with you last May. Mm-hmm. And you indicated that I was like a clown in a circus with all these plates spinning on these little poles, mm-hmm. and for me to take care of my issues one at a time. So, which I have done. I changed jobs, and I am finally out of the relationship that you said was not good for me. Mm-hmm. Our divorce will be final in November, but my problem is I need to make sure I'm on the right path. My heart is just ripping. And just what is my soul telling you? Am I doing the right thing? Did I actually do the right thing in getting the divorce and so on?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All the way across the board. So many of the plates that I had referred to in the reading. And I know that other listeners are probably going, gosh, you use plates with me too. There's a similarity here. But in the plate, so many of the plates that you were spinning, as I had mentioned in the reading, weren't yours. One of the things that you're really doing now, sweetie, is in this finality, and I can associate it with the divorce, but the finality of the relationship has more of a metaphoric energy about it for me to be able to share this with you. It's like getting rid of that part of you that doesn't believe you're worthy of being loved or you're not good enough. And that part, it's kind of like you have to work on the surface and then you start working down deeper. Where you are right now is you're really down working in old patterns, old things that you were gifted with when you were a child and so forth about, you know, finding the value of who you are and looking at what you can bring to a relationship without having to compromise and give yourself away in the process of creating that relationship. One of the things that you're doing is you're dealing with a lot of sadness that you've carried for a long time, even as a child, and that has been reinforced in the relationships that you've had where they've never really been as unconditional or maybe as free or as liberating or as partnership as you have always desired. The other thing is that you're dealing in the world of disappointment, and that is the world that was gifted to you as a child. I can hear people around you that were supposed to love you. I do know that they do. To however they know how to love you and how disappointed they were that maybe you weren't exactly what they wanted you to be. And I think that's the remnants of the relationship that you just got out of, is that no matter how hard you tried, you couldn't be what this person wanted you to be because it was a moving target. It was just always causing you to have to dance or to lose touch with who you are. And that's not a healthy place to be.
Yeah, I desire balance so bad in my life now, and I'm because I've got gone through what I have, I'm so afraid to trust. And I did start dating a gentleman who's, you know, a great gentleman, but I'm so mm-hmm. afraid to let myself go again. And I don't want that to, my past disappointments to carry through to my future relationship. But I'm still devastated, and I lack
yeah.
balance.
Well, and you know, and that's the, it's a process, sweetie. You're in that, what I call that transitional time. And, in that time, we come out of something, and it's kind of, you know, I have a therapist friend that, you know, gives me this visual. And when we come out of something that we've compromised ourselves in the name of love or whatever reason we did, but we realized that it had a destructiveness about it and we really needed to get out of it. The metaphor she always uses is that we need to lick our wounds. We need to go into that quiet space. We need to go in and touch who we are. We need to recognize who we are, accept facets of who we are in that process. And then what we do is that's a process. And then it's kind of like losing an identity that has been something that's so comfortable for us. And then what we do is we go through that process. We have to give ourselves the time to be able to grieve the process, to grieve the loss of the relationship, the identities associated with it, our past. I mean, they were our best friend. They helped us survive. Maybe they weren't the best thing for us now, but you know, most of us survive on the things that we basically were gifted with when we were children, and then we reach a place they don't. And then what we do is then we start opening up and we start looking at receiving the gifts that the universe brings us, our desires that we put out there start to come to us. And the trust issue isn't that you're not going to get into another relationship. The trust is it's kind of a self-doubt. It's a reality check. So you don't let any old lingering patterns of the need to be liked and loved in order to be okay to push you into another relationship. And this person is a very, very good person. I don't mean to imply that he isn't. He's a very kind, good man. He has a great heart about him. He has a lot of the qualities, but this lack of trust or this skepticism, what this is doing is it's just asking you to just pause. Look at the situation. Look at the person. What does this person embody that you desire? And then when you find that, then you move a little bit deeper into the relationship. If you find that it has a lot of the things you don't desire, then you have a choice as to whether to continue it or to basically cool the jets of it and then allow it through the natural process to just basically fade away. One of the things I can tell you, Debbie, you're not going to be without a relationship. I may have even mentioned that in the other reading. We just want someone, honey, that allows you, as it allows the other person, to be in partnership where there isn't any gender roles and where you're not having to mother and they're not having to feel responsibility around emotionally taking care of you, emotionally loving you, yes, but not carrying your burdens. And that may take a little bit of time.
Yeah, and that's the past relationship I just got out of. We were in a relationship for 14 years, and I was basically his mother, and he just did not, he operated as an individual and not as a married unit, and I just couldn't do it anymore.
Absolutely. And the gift of that is you now have a clearer picture of what that married unit wants to look like. The energy of marriage is important to you, so whoever you look for in the future has to be open to the matrimony and the marriage and the commitment associated with it. What that means is that, honestly, sweetie, it doesn't feel like you're going to spend 20 years living with someone. That's a very important component of who you are. The other part of it is that you want someone that you can meet with at a spiritual place first. Intimate place is part of that spirituality. Emotional connection is very important, then physical connection. And it isn't just about the biological needs to be able to keep yourself into that a place of feeling love. And that's all part of the process that you learn from this. And the reality is you served great purpose to this other person. And from the standpoint is that you gave him a lot of opportunities to be able to grow and move beyond where he is. And many times he did, and other times he chose not to.
Right.
You can't be held accountable for that, honey.
Right.
Out of that, his gift is that it pushed you to the point where you truly want to accept yourself. And in doing so, you're going to define what you really need around love, intimacy, expression, spirituality, and what your physical needs are. It was a great gift. It was a great dance. Sometimes it was stepping on each other's toes. Isn't that a relationship? But both of you served yourself well. You chose to go to a different level than he did and nothing more.
Yeah, exactly. In a nutshell. Do you...
Not above. You're not above. You're not below. He's not above. He's not below.
Right.
So...
Do you see a time frame as to when I will get more balance back in my life and feel more sound, more spiritually and financially and physically sound?
I do, and I can tell you very clearly that the answer to all of those questions is going to be when you get settled into the work that you're doing, it feels like it's a good match for you. You'll get settled into the work that you're doing. That will give you that consistency, the stability, the financial part of it. It will give you a place where you're not always in that learning, trying to please all the things that we do, trying to get on board. You'll reach a place where you'll be comfortable with it, you'll enjoy it, and then it'll give you time to be able to start doing some more spiritual development because you don't have to be consumed by work. And then in that process, you'll also be attracting people to you that you can decide how many frogs you need to kiss to find that prince.
Now, with my past relationship, I'm an orange, and I gave him the color test, and he was a yellow, and mm-hmm. we just had so many things that we were not compatible with. Do you
Absolutely.
Recommend that as I date, as with this gentleman that I currently started dating, that I also do the personality test on them to make sure we are compatible?
You bet. But I will tell you, the most in my work in personality, the relationship that struggles the very most of any personality color is a yellow male with an orange female. It is emotionally brutal, honey. I say that with great honesty.
Yeah. Well, being orange is emotionally brutal.
It is. And the other thing is that I can tell you absolutely give this person the test. I can tell you right now, as I pick up his energy via you, he's not a yellow.
Okay.
But it's a good place to go. I've got a very good friend that went into the dating scene. And one of the things that she did is she went in and she immediately first date, give him the assessment. So anyway,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Anyhow, yes, absolutely. Okay, well, light and love to you. Good job, honey. Gold stars to you. Even though it may feel on the outside like, on the inside, it's like, woohoo.
Thank you. As long as I know I'm on the right path.
You are absolutely on the right path.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome. I want to just close the show. I've only got a couple of minutes to be able to do this. But one of the things that I want to do, how do you find balance between spirituality and and your physical nature? You breathe. Something as simple as that. Pay attention to your breathing. When it's shallow and rapid, you're in compromise. When you're in that relaxed state, then that steady, relaxed state where you're in your natural rhythm, then I can tell you your soul, your mind, and your body are exactly on the same page. So again, pay attention to your breathing. And if you find yourself entering into that place where your physical body has the needs, you know what? It's going to let you know. It's going to cause you to yawn. It's going to cause you to sigh. And in that yawn and that sigh, your body is saying, help me. I need some air. My brain needs to have that nice oxygen-rich blood to be able to fortify me so I can think clearly. Please remember that your purpose in life is to experience joy and that in the spiritual quest, it should be joyful. If it becomes too hard, it seems like you're having to push it, you're having to control it. It isn't your soul driving it, it's your mind. Take a deep breath, step back, move away from what you're doing, and then look and go out in nature. And then everything falls back into alignment. Thank you all for the show today, for your questions, for your calls and so forth. It's always a pleasure to spend time with you. I'm going to be back next Wednesday and I'm going to have a Conversations with Carol show. So please join me at 10 o'clock a.m. on contacttalkradio.com. I'll see you next week on the radio. Light and love.
You've been listening to the Carol Ryberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.